Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, today we're going to talk about sex education. Didn't think you were going to hear me say that, did you? And we're going back to the very beginnings, the very basics. So instead of 101, I guess it's Sex Education 1. And talk about the birds and the bees. Yeah, that's how it all starts, the birds and the bees. And we're talking about that because this is National Pollinators Week. And we wouldn't have a lot of our food if we didn't have those pollinators. So if you don't have a garden, you don't have ground to grow much, you're going, well, this doesn't apply to me. Well, you know, you could provide a little pollinator food just by having a pot of marigolds. Doesn't take much to provide a little food. And of course, the other thing we all can do is to appreciate those pollinators that help us out and let them grow. You know, there are lots of things that are pollinators that you might not think of. We think of birds. Perhaps maybe you don't even think of birds, but hummingbirds are great pollinators. Bees, and there are over 400 kinds of bees. They keep finding more. So all kinds of bees are pollinators. Also, bats and a lot of different bugs and insects are pollinators. So there are lots of them out there. We need to let them do their work. Wasps are another one I mentioned. Moths, flies. You know, some of those you go, I don't want those around. Well, of course, not perhaps every kind of those is a pollinator, but any of those animals, birds, insects that move from one plant or flower to another carry the pollen with them, either because they've been eating it, but mostly because it's on their bodies somewhere and they're moving it from one flower to another flower to do the work of connecting the pollen from the female to the male part of the plant. So there are a number of things that we could do to help those pollinators do their work. Some of them you may say, oh yeah, I'd like to do that. And others you're going, yeah, I'm not so sure about those. The first one, if you are planting, it's good to do a diversity of plants that have different colors of flowers, different heights, flowers that grow all season long, you know, so you have a variety of those. So something's blooming in the spring, something's blooming in the fall. And when I say flowers, you go, okay, you have a visual picture of flowers. Well, other plants that also are good for pollinators are trees, especially a couple of examples, the flowering dogwood and the Kentucky coffee tree, sugar and silver maples. Those are all great plants for the pollinators. Also, a variety of shrubs and grasses. So there's a big variety that we can choose from if we're planting things that could help us out in terms of what the pollinators might like. In terms of flowers, oh, here's just some. There's a long, long list of those kinds of plants, but some that may be more familiar to you, asters, bee balm, black-eyed Susan, butterfly bush, coneflowers, cosmos, dame's rocket, goldenrods, hyssop, ironweed, joe pie weed. Many of those are native. I mentioned marigold before. And then, of course, somewhere in here we have to talk about milkweed. And I know if you are on a farm or you know a farmer, you're going, oh, milkweeds. Well, we have choices with milkweeds. It doesn't have to be just the kind that we don't want in our fields. So planting that diversity, and probably, you know, it makes it easier if a lot of those are perennials as well as annuals. So choose lots of different things and play your part in terms of providing food and pollen for those pollinators. Something else that you can do is to, and this is one that people are going, I don't think so. Consider leaving flowering weeds such as clover and dandelions to serve as food sources for pollination. And perhaps if you have a large area, you could at least leave a patch of dandelion somewhere, although I know that seed spreads around. But the rest of your lawn, you're probably spraying to keep the dandelions out. Well, think about possibilities there. Another thing we can do is to limit pesticide use. And when we use them, think about when they are applied. Think of them applying them when the plants aren't blooming, because it's the flowers that the pollinators are going to use. Or don't do it when it's windy. And also think about when those pollinators of all kinds are busy out there working. Most of the time, they're not out there in the very early morning. That's very early. And late evening or after dark. You take your flashlight out, I guess, and do your insecticide. But think about when they're not working so much, that's when you work if you're going to put pesticides on. So it's interesting, I think, of course, to think about all the work that the pollinators are doing and how we can help them out. Even, I want to talk about milkweed, because that's one thing that farmers have tried to get rid of for years. They haven't done that successfully, you know, completely. But it's a good thing because, of course, the milkweeds are host for our butterflies. They eat the leaves. They get food there when they're growing as caterpillars. And then as they flower, of course, there are lots of the insects and birds that go from one flower to another. So the milkweeds provide food in a number of different ways through quite a time, from the time they're young and growing to the time they're flowering. So two things that you can go, okay, I don't have to add to the milkweed population out in the bean field. One is that you could let them grow in your yard. I have several in with my lilacs, where the lilacs are. There are several growing. Or there's some other places where you go, okay, that's okay. And let them grow until they form those seed pods and they're about ready to burst. Well, that's when I go out and gather those. Now, not everybody's going to do that, so there's still going to be plenty of seeds. But at my house, I go out and gather those pods before they burst, so of course the seeds aren't sprouting. There's still always going to be some around, and so some people might argue with me on that, but that's what I'm doing. The better thing to do, if you're planting milkweed, you have some choices that are really pretty. The swamp milkweed has a pink flower on it, and the other one has an orange flower on it. They're beautiful, and they're a perennial that just keeps on going. So you can choose those milkweeds and plant them however, wherever you want that they fit in your garden. You're still doing your job to help those butterflies, and those are not going to spread into the farm fields like the others do. So you can be a good farm supporter, and you can also be a good pollinator supporter. One of the plants that maybe you are not so familiar with is called Joe Pieweed. And first of all, you go, oh, well, I don't want to plant a weed. But they look more like a shrub. They're pretty tall. Maybe they could get as tall as 5 feet. And they have kind of a pink bushy flower on them. They're pretty tough. They come back year after year. You might want to look into a Joe Pieweed. Lots of you are familiar with cosmos. Those are kind of fun. They seed themselves and come back year after year, so they're an easy one to do. Coneflowers, of course, they come back year after year, seed themselves, and are such a multiple choice of colors. Also, think about, you know, what I didn't mention. I mentioned trees, shrubs, flowers. What about herbs? And I think I did mention grasses. All of those can be hosts for pollinators. So when you're thinking about what you'd like to eat today, think about, did that food come from a plant that had a flower on it? Well, if it did, you probably had a bird, a bee, an insect, perhaps a bat. Something helped to provide that food by doing its pollinating job. So appreciate the pollinators and help them out when you can. Until next time, give your garden wings.